For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
You are listening to Habs & Minded, brought to you by HabsEyesOnThePrize.com.
The last of the major pro sports leagues kick off this week, and BetOnline is your top spot for all your NBA action this season. With MLB postseason, NFL, college football, and NHL all in full swing, BetOnline is your number one source for wagering news, odds, trends, and predictions. Get everything NBA at your fingertips with both desktop and mobile access for every sport, anytime. Head to BetOnline today to get in on the action. Don't forget to use promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Hello and welcome to Habs & Minded. It's Patrick Bexell. It is the first of the season. It is the Player of the Month episode. And I'm joined by a stellar crew today. And it's very good to have Hadi Kalakesh back on. It's been a while, Hadi. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Yeah, it's been a bit of a while. The off-season at Dauber Prospects was super busy. We had so much to set up for this draft year, but our scouting meeting's next week, so things just slow down a bit after that. You should see and hear a bit of, more of me as the year goes on, yeah.
And obviously, we got someone who just got out of jail, Anton Rossegård, on the run once more. How are you doing, man?
Oh, I'm fine. It's great to see a blue sky again.
I'm not going to ask where you are because we don't want anyone to catch up with you during the podcast. But at the end, if you want to, you can reveal where you are and maybe the police will catch up to you. And of course, we have the omnipresent Jared Book, who will talk about the best Fabs player. Are we calling him the Fabs nowadays, Jared, or is that an old nickname?
We're not talking about their potential names right now, Patrick. We'll cross that bridge when we get there, but I don't want to talk about what's not confirmed, partially because I hate it.
Well, it's like, and Anton will know this, they hired a really expensive consultant to rename the football stadium in Gothenburg to the old name, and he charged like, was it $40,000 or something like that, Anton?
Yeah, it was a ridiculous amount for just renaming it the same that the old stadium was called.
Brilliant. If anybody knows anything about overpaying for buildings, it's Montreal. So,
Well, they're always under construction there. That's the problem, isn't it?
Yep.
We're going to talk about the player of the month. And really, is there a better one than the overtime player of the month with Cole Caulfield? What a start of the season he's had, Jared.
Yeah, it's you know, there's always questions when players get hurt and how they'll come back. And, you know, Cole Caulfield, so much of this organization's future relies on him. But for him to have the start that he did, it makes those 50-goal claims that a lot of the media had going into the season look pretty realistic. If it's not this year, it'll be in the near future. This is exactly what you want from the Montreal Canadiens. Like, I know people want to see wins. They want to see, you know, a competitive team. But for me, the individual performances are even more important than that. And Cole Caulfield leading the way to what has been a really good October for the Canadians, results wise too. You can't ask for better than that.
Paddy, you're the scout. The power play, atrocious in many ways, and yeah. Everyone is just waiting for Cole Caulfield to slap it in. That should give space for others, though.
Yeah, and that's been working so far. I mean, Sean Monahan scored a couple goals, and the power play, I think we're at, what, three straight games or four straight games with a power play goal?
Five straight games,
yeah. I mean, yeah. It's working well, and I think Cole Caulfield has, like, one of those goals or something like that.
He has a couple of assists, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, exactly, but it's mainly because, you know, he's realizing how intent opposing teams are at double, triple teaming him to make sure that he doesn't get that one timer off. And it's opening up Sean Monahan at the front of the net. It's opening up Nick Suzuki on the far side. It's opening up point shots. I mean, the Habs have understood that you need more than one shooting threat, and they're exploiting it really well right now. And that's what's really impressed me with Cole Caulfield so far, is just, you know, draft your Cole Caulfield. A lot of my issues with that was, he was getting a lot of passes, really good passes from Jack Hughes, and immediately shooting at off reception, which is good when you're 5'7" and you need to exploit every puck touch. But Cole Caulfield right now on the power play is, he's playing his role to perfection in the way that you should. I mean, he's faking slappers, carrying it to the inside, passing it back up or to the side to Nick Suzuki, or occasionally even down to Sean Monahan or whoever else is in that position, Josh Anderson. I mean, he's distributing a lot more, and he's getting a lot more comfortable delegating the shooting threat to his teammates, and it's working to perfection right now in Montreal. The main issue is his own entries, and I'm really glad the Habs went from the double drop to the single drop, because that's made a big difference in their ability to set up in the offensive zone, on top of winning those key faceoffs, obviously. But I mean, it's been a major pet peeve of mine. It's just the double drop isn't working because the other three players are just static at the offensive blue line. There's no movement, there's no rotations, and basically it's just two guys trying to shove the puck in. It ends up in a 50-50 battle in the corner, and the opposing team gets it out. So I'm just really happy with that change as well. And a couple occasions of Caulfield carrying it in the offensive zone as well doesn't harm. I mean, he's a really good puck carrier as well.
Looking at it, and I mean, we all remember Cole Caulfield's overtime heroics, and yep. Is it the extra space, the added space that he gets on overtime that benefits him so much, or is it just that, you know, he just has that wicked shot and he gets more opportunities?
It's definitely
everyone is gonna run and gun hockey in some ways.
Yeah, no, I mean, Cole Caulfield is a player who, you know, a lot of what he does at 5-on-5 is he gets rid of the puck before he gets an opportunity to get hit. And you don't see a lot of hitting, a lot of physical play at 3-on-3, which benefits him a lot because he's able to prolong his puck touches. And we'll get to that when we pivot to Cédric Guindon and him being the player of the month later on.
Hashtag spoiler alert.
But yeah, it's one of the things that I'm going to talk about. But yeah, I mean, he's prolonging his puck touches. He's getting more time on the puck. And that's just so good for Caulfield because of how good he is at navigating open space and getting a shot off clean. So that's one thing that benefits him a lot of 3-on-3 is obviously the added extra space, but also the fact that he's able to keep the puck for longer because he doesn't have the threat of a blindside hit coming or that kind of thing. If you watch Caulfield at 5-on-5, a lot of his plays are one touch or two touch plays. And the only times he really gets the puck for, you know, more than a second is when he's cutting back up, when the Habs are cycling the puck, when he's getting the puck along the boards and pivoting off a hit and skating up to make a low to high pass, that's basically the only time you'll see Caulfield get the puck for more than a second or two. So yeah, it's just the fact that he can keep the puck for 10, 20 seconds if he wants and choose the right play that really benefits Caulfield in overtime. That's what makes him so effective.
Jared, there are a lot of honorable mentions as well. Obviously, Jake Allen. Matheson as well. I know Anton is batting for Savard, but I think that may be because, you know,
only because he's out of the team. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Canadians are winning when he's out of the team. No, that's mean. But Justin Barron has scored 3 goals, which is more than Alexander Ovechkin has this far in the season. Which is something
we never thought we would say that sentence, would we?
No, exactly. So he's had 0.6 goals per game as a right-handed defenseman playing limited minutes, which is really impressive, especially for someone who we thought was going to get sent down at the end of training camp. So you know, as an honorable mention, kind of like sideways, you know, he's done well with the limited amount of time he has.
It might be good for him to just, you know, grow into that NHL. We saw how he took a few games to get ready last year. But Jake Allen, Jared.
Yeah, I mean, Jake Allen was outstanding. 930 save percentage, you know, compared to his last season. Huge turnaround and a big reason why the Montreal Canadiens are able to come back in games, right? You know, the common theme is that they've been getting behind early, but the goaltenders kind of have shut them down after that happens. And you saw it with, you know, Montembeau, and even to a certain extent, Primo, is that they're making big saves, and Allen was outstanding. And if it wasn't for Cole Caulfield and potentially Michael Matheson as well, who had a great month as the one of the only veterans on the blue line after David Savard's injury, you know, if it wasn't for those two, Jake Allen would easily be player of the month. But the good news about the Canadians being 5-2-1 as we're recording this before the Vegas game is that those three players it makes it a hard choice. There's a lot of these last year, it was a hard choice because there was no one really sticking out. October 2023 is a hard decision for the opposite reason. There's a lot of players who probably were more deserving of recognition.
Yeah, and I mean, we haven't even mentioned Kaden Gooley yet.
No.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when he's been in the lineup, he's showing what a kind of game changer he can be.
Also, we can't forget Joel Armia, one goal in one game thus far. So he's on pace. He's on pace for like 77 goals this season.
He also had four goals in four AHL games. So
yeah, and
he has 5 goals in 5 games between the AHL and NHL this season.
Yeah, and he's taking the demotion in a very good way.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, on Elite Prospects right now, he's on pace for 75 games, 75 goals, 0 assists. That's a great stat line. Yeah, yeah,
sustainable exactly. For sure. Yeah,
regression to the mean is not something we talk about here.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's been a very, very good month, and obviously Laval has some good scores, but the results are not really checking in. Jared, we all know Elias Andersson is the player of the month for our hearts, but we also know that Matt Drake will sign off forever if we don't give it to Joshua Roy. So what can you tell us about Joshua Roy, and maybe Hadi can fill in at the end with some other insights?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't watched Joshua Roy as much as Matt or Hadi before this season. You know, I've watched some here and there. I wasn't expecting this kind of start from Joshua Roy. He looks like a player who's too good for the AHL already, and I'm fine with him being in the AHL. But, you know, 5 goals, 7 assists in 7 games. You know, yes, the Rocket are leaking goals like there's no tomorrow. That's an issue. They could use a goalie with a 930 save percentage like Jake Allen had this month. But yeah, I mean, the good news is that they're scoring goals. I mean, I talked about before the season started, this was the most offensively skilled roster they've ever had. And they're scoring lots of goals. The problem is the defense and you know,
well, you load up that defense with some offensive minded defensemen as well. So, you know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the top defenders on the team are Matthias Norlander, Logan Mailloux, and, you know, Nicolas Beaudin is getting a lot of time as well. Those aren't exactly guys known as defensive stalwarts. Yeah. So it's kind of the recipe of their team is to kind of outscore you. And, you know, the good thing is that the guys who you want to be scoring are scoring. You know, Elias Andersson, you mentioned, you know, 7 goals in 7 games, 2 assists as well. Sean Farrell has 5 points in 7 games. Like the guys, you know, Mitchell Stevens as well is having a good start. Brandon Gignac, guys who are veterans in Laval, but you know, Joshua Waz is a step above, and you can't even say that he's assisting in all of Anderson's goals because they'd only play together on the power play. They don't even play together 5-on-5, at least lately. So it's a good start for Joshua Waz, and there's not much you can say negatively about him. He's proving he belongs, and that's a big step for him.
Hadi, expect this kind of development from Joshua Roy? You gave him an A for last year's season, but you know.
Yeah, so the thing is with Roy is he consistently exceeds expectations, and I don't think anyone had it in their mind that he'd be leading the Laval Rocket at points right now.
You're forgetting Matt Drake?
Yeah, I don't think even Matt would have expected him to be leading the
Rocket. Matt expected him to lead the Canadians in scoring. What are you talking about?
You know what? That's a fair point. But the what's really interesting with Hua is just how he's developed to adapt. There's this one thing that he's always done in junior, which kind of bugged me, is that he always delegates breakouts to his wingers or his teammates on the ice. Very, very rarely carries a puck up the ice himself. He's gotten more comfortable doing that so far with the Laval Rocket. And one thing that I saw as a bit of a concern at the start of the year, but quickly became a bit of a strength of Roy's, is just how he's able to hold on to the puck for just a second longer in order to draw a player in and open someone up. That's been one of the things that's made him so effective so far, is that he's comfortable holding on to pucks for small moments at times just to kind of draw a player in and allow the passing lane to develop. A lot of the time what you saw from Roy in the AHL is either he would delegate to his winger on the breakout and just position himself to shoot, or he would rush a pass through a lane, and it would work in the QMJHL because passing lanes stay open longer and plays develop a lot more in a lot of a more linear way in the QMJHL. But in the AHL, you need to open up space by using that kind of magnetism to draw players in, to open up teammates, and he's been doing that a lot better. And those are kind of the two things that I'd say have been working for him so far, is just, you know, getting open off the puck and you know, passing and then moving into a shooting position, and also just, you know, drawing players in to open up teammates. Those two things together have really made him a good he's a good puck manager. He understands where the puck needs to go and lets plays develop in ways that help that kind of advance. So I've been really impressed with how Joshua Roy has developed his game over the offseason and how he's adapted, especially since the start of the season. Those are two things that I really, you know, as much as I love Joshua Roy, I wasn't always sold on that kind of happening, and it's been really promising to see that happen. But like Jared said, I think it's a really good idea to just leave him in the AHL to develop and kind of get more comfortable with these concepts so that he hits the next ground running without having to worry about adding these tools to his game more regularly.
Yeah, I can add to that. I just feel that, like, nobody would have been disappointed if Joshua Roy took a few games or even, you know, weeks or months to adapt to playing in the AHL, because it's a big step up from the Q, obviously. And he's only 20, 21 years old. Is he 20? He's 20. So we see Elias Andersson, for example. Elias Andersson is a 25-year-old veteran at this point. Last season with the Ontario Reign was his, well, best full season in the AHL. He had 59 points in 67 games, which is great. It's a point per game pace. But he's 25 years old, and he's been in North America now for like five seasons. Joshua Roy comes out of the gates into a Laval Rocket with a lot of new faces. There is not a lot of organization that you can just, like, you know, you don't just insert Roy into a given role and just say that, well, you're going to have a limited role, you're going to get this and this. And, like, most guys are new on the team. Most guys are young. And he just steps in and takes a leadership role. He leads by example. It's not only that he adds by, you know, his passing. He has 5 goals and 7 assists, you know, and just an overall very developed, overall game for a 20-year-old first year AHL player. Just imagining that he was like a 5th-round pick. Obviously, he was very skilled from the get-go, being the first overall pick in the what was it, the Bantam draft, or the what's Q, it called
yeah.
in the
QMJHL draft? Yeah,
yeah, exactly. But falling to the 5th round, and then he's just exceeded every expectation possible in the 3 years. This is the 3rd season, right? So then the 2 years that have passed since then. Super impressive, really. And let's just hope he can build on it, because right now he looks like someone, as Jared said, who is too good for the AHL. And if he's too good for the AHL, the Habs will absolutely have a spot for him, you know, in the near future.
We'll be right back after these messages. Please lower your volume accordingly.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Anton, you're also the co-writer for the EPR this month.
Yeah.
What can you tell us about someone who got a really good goal this weekend, Oliver Kapanen?
Slow start to the season, obviously, where we were kind of wondering what had been going on because, well, we've seen people bragging about Oliver Kapanen being the next savior of the Canadians at the center spot on Twitter or X. But he just came out of the gate, like, not looking that comfortable at all. He had bad luck with his shooting percentage as well. Nothing went in. And his team, Kalpa, didn't perform either. So it took a while, but it seems like he has found his stride now. Oliver Kapanen, like, obviously, as we said, like, nobody will remember if someone had, like, a slow 2-week start to the, 50, 60 game season. But it's just good to see that Kapanen, who's also 20 years old, has just found the stride that he needs, because now he's expected to be one of the leaders after being a 0.5 point per game player last season in Kalpa. He's expected to take on a more mature role and, you know, anchor his line and work towards an NHL contract. So it's a big season, but it seems like he's moving in the right way.
Yeah, and you have to consider that he did do his national service for the Finnish Army during the off season. I'm sure that that has hampered his preparation for the season in many ways, mentally as well as physically. I know he was on a athletic platoon, as we call it here in Scandinavia, but it still means that he has to, he can't practice in the same way and probably didn't have access to the ice surfaces that he needs to in order to prepare properly for the start of the season. I'm very impressed with him. I hope that the ketchup effect has really, really gotten him going. That he now just continues on that same level that he was every now and then the last year, where he still outperformed many junior players in Liga. I want to take a chance, an opportunity to talk a little bit about the two defensemen that we have on in Europe, and it's Bogdan Kuznetsov, and I'm sorry, I ruined that one, and Adam Engström. Both of them, for different reasons, are getting hampered in the plus minus stats. And for Bogdan is that he is kind of small, he skates very well, he has an offensive output. I'm drawing conclusions a little bit more to Mathias Norlander in some ways than I do to maybe, you know, Adam Engström or Romanov, as many of them has compared him to. He gets a lot of ice time, but he's on counterattacks and stuff, he's not that sure how to box out players from near the net. When it comes to Engström, though, Rögle has an atrocious season again, or season start again. They have positive Corsi, they have positive Corsi 4. PDO is atrocious. Adam Engström has a 55% Corsi 4, I think, and he has a PDO of 92.7. It's right now things are not going in, and Adam is one of the players that they are relying on in those close games where they pull the goalkeeper, and more often than not the empty net goal is scored, which hampers his minus as well. Both of them are for different reasons getting boxed in there. The good thing is that they are players that needs development, and they're getting that heavy ice time that you sort of want to see from defenders, especially when it comes to development. Then we're going to move on to the North American one. And well, you already spoiled the news, Hadi. So let's get on to it.
Yeah, I mean, I could switch over to Jacob Fowler, who's had a fantastic start to the season so far in Boston College. But I went with Cédric Guindon mainly because he's been so consistent and he's added some really interesting tools to his game. I mean, first and foremost, he's improved his ability to kind of attack downhill. So he's reloading above the puck in the offensive zone, close to the defenseman, and kind of pushing down off the puck in order to find space. And a lot of the time, as we mentioned earlier with Cole Caulfield, I mean, a main issue with me with Cédric Guindon is that that he spent a lot of time on the puck, and a lot of his goals last year came off of long puck touches, long puck possessions. This year it's different. I mean, he's a lot of his goals this year have come off of just, you know, finding space below the hash marks between defensemen and taking quick one touch or two touch, you know, puck touches in order to set up for a shot. And that's really improved his ability, his output, and also his consistency. And I think that's a lot more of a translatable way for him to score points as he climbs the ranks. I'd rather see a Gagnon who's taking quick touches and making quick one or two touch plays in order to score than a Cedric Gagnon who's consistently carrying the puck for 5-6 seconds and then just walking in unimpeded and just shooting. So that's been a great progression in his game. I've been really impressed with that. He's also, for me right now, he's the most consistent player on the Owen Sound attack right now, who have a decent lineup. I mean, they have Colby Barlow, they have Cervak Petrovsky, they have Denis Gour, and for me, he's just on a nightly basis, he's been performing really well. And he's been paired with Petrovsky and another guy whose name escapes me, but he's got maybe like 7 points in 12 games. Like, he's not a top producer. And he has 13 points in 12 games. He's, you know, by a decent margin, the best producer on his line. And on top of that, he's getting engaged defensively. He's upped the ante in terms of effort level. He's getting back on back checks, making good defensive plays. I mean, he's really, I mean, from the games I've watched for Owen Sound, and I've scouted a lot of the OHL this year as the director of North American scouting for Dauber Prospects, he's been a player who's consistently stood out on Owen Sound. Even on nights where I'm watching a prospect on the other team, he just jumps off the page at you. I've been really impressed with Gagnon's progression so far and the tools he's added to his game.
Another Smurf, though, 5'10".
He doesn't play like one, though, which is a kind of a common theme with the Habs. I mean, he still needs to learn how to use his body properly in board battles and leverage his weight and all that. But the effort level's there, the intensity's there, the engagement's there. I don't mind Gagnon being in the system. He's a really good prospect, and I feel like he's going to hit the ground running in the AHL either next year or the year after. But I don't think it's going to be long before he's playing kind of top AHL minutes. But there's still a couple things I want him to tweak in his game. I want him to get better at the things that Joshua Roy's gotten better at, drawing players in, opening up passing lanes, you know, getting into a shooting position off the puck more regularly. But he's building, and that's what I like to see, is players, you know, adding building blocks to their game so that they can hit the next level and continue to kind of stack bricks on top of those building blocks. I think that's really important, and he's on that trajectory so far. I've been really impressed.
And Gagnon is part of that 2022 draft class that I always refer to as like too smart to fail.
Yeah.
I don't feel, obviously I know that not everybody in that draft class is going to succeed and become an NHLer. But I it's hard to bet against any of them just because they all strike me as just really smart players who understand what they need to do to get better. And Owen Beck is an example of that. Even guys like Juraj Slafkovský and Philip Machar, like they know what they need to get better at. Like Machar has no qualms about where he is as a player. Like he knows he has to get better. And Lane Hutson, obviously, you know, he doesn't have to improve much, but even he is fine-tuning his game. So that whole 2022 class, Vincent Rohrer, who Patrick has talked about a lot as well, is part of that as well. They're just guys that get it. And I think that it's such an interesting way that the Canadians are looking at this, looking at players that want to improve, right? Yep. Because you know that players aren't ready at 18 most of the time. Even guys like Connor Bedard are going to need to improve. Yeah. And guys who acknowledge that and know that they need to improve are perhaps, you know, more coachable. Those are guys that really surprise you. Joshua Waugh is a good example of that as well. And I think that's kind of the way the Montreal Canadiens are going with this development team. And I think that it's an interesting thing to look at when, you know, in 3-4 years when we look back at this and see who succeeds and who doesn't. Yeah. It's a really interesting. Gagnon is one of those guys kind of under the radar, but just struck me as smart. And I think that he's really using that to his advantage to raise his game.
Jared, yeah, you have 3 minutes to finish off the Fabs segment this time.
Yeah. You know, very quickly, the season doesn't start till January. Training camp doesn't open till mid-November. But there's two players who were drafted by Montreal who are playing in Sweden. Dominika Leskova, a defender, a Czech defender, one goal, four assists in nine games in Sweden, playing for Luleå. She's a plus 11 as well. She's going to be a big member of this.
Well, Luleå is really, really strong team though. So, you know.
Yeah, obviously. But she's going to be one of the players who's going to be top 4 minutes in Montreal. The other player is Lena Lindblom. And there's reports out there that she can't get out of her contract. She's on the training camp roster in Montreal. So it's going to be interesting to see if she shows up in November. If she shows up after her season in Sweden, it's up in the air, but she had a great month as well. A little bit of a slow start for her, no goals in her first two games, but then six goals and two assists in nine games in October, plus four for Modo. So she was a great scorer at the last World Championship. She's a great scorer so far this season as well. And when she ever comes over to North America, she'll be expected to fit in and be a scorer here as well. I'm looking forward to January already, when we'll have actual women's hockey to talk about. Thank you all for listening, for Hattie, Anton, Patrick for hosting. This episode is brought to you by Bet Online. And we'll see you next time on Habs and Mindy.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.